In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
BT is now back on the Fan. Time to do with the crown topic of the day. Actually, there's two now, BT. We started the show talking about Rex Ryan and him openly lobbying for the Jets job and what the Jets are going to do at head coach moving forward. And maybe it is likely that Rex comes back and gives another stint here as a head coach where the Jets are at. You know what Woody wants. He loves Rex. That's been clear since day one. Rex has reiterated that over and over again. So I think it is a possibility there. And also the Giants releasing Daniel Jones. Jones going to the Giants asking to be released. And Giants releasing a statement a short time ago saying that obviously they accepted his request. They have released Daniel Jones. So crazy to go from a couple of weeks ago where Jones was still the starting quarterback to being benched by the Giants, to the statement yesterday that Jones put out there. Now it is officially over for Daniel Jones and the Giants.
Yeah, and once again, here we are doing everything but talking about actual football coming up this weekend pertaining to these two teams. My goodness, but at least they're keeping it interesting. Zero interest in Rex Ryan. I would love to hang out with Rex. I loved Rex back in the day. Rex, though, I think it's been completely hijacked. Like what he was, truly, literally, what he was and how he's perceived now, and how people romanticize his stint, it's just not congruent with what he did. So I'm out. I no interest. The empty rhetoric, the bluster, the press conferences, puffing out the chest, begging for jobs, going on radio shows, saying, "We, Rex, have a little football dignity, will you? You've been in the TV studio for 10 years. Nobody's called you. I mean, you've been begging for DC jobs. Nobody even wants to give you that." Now, I do want to get some separation between the reality of Rex maybe becoming the Jets head coach, which I do believe is possible, and making sure it's abundantly clear what I want, and I do not want him as the head coach. If there was a situation where, and I know this isn't possible, he wanted to be the DC here, okay, I'd be open to it, but he's not coming here for that secondary role, so that's not even a possibility.
And the only reason why I would entertain it, because for years I was like, Rex, full of hot air, blah, 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 it was fun while it lasted, but it's over. The only reason why I would consider it is because the Jets' job is not going to be as appealing as other jobs because of Woody Johnson, so it may be realistically their best option, plus where they're at with their roster construction, meaning they have a veteran quarterback in place, they have a lot of talent on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. Maybe Rex can help clean that up. I think they'd be better. Like, I want to hire Rex in season. I think the Jets would have been better this year had they fired Saleh and hired Rex immediately. I think maybe they could have made the postseason. So I think they could be better next year, far better next year with Rex, if you take this similar version of this team next year with Rex Ryan. But do I think that's going to lead to sustained success? I don't, not under Rex. So to me, it would have been a more short-term thing. And if I am going to bring him in, I would know that it's going to be in the short term as opposed to hope that you could bring in somebody to build this thing out, build the foundation, and then build it out for 5-10 years of sustained success.
I mean, yeah. And by the way, so just for the record, there's been a lot more pro-Rex calls on the station. We'll get back to the calls, obviously. It's BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. And the other thing that Sal referenced was Daniel Jones. And I just saw this during the break here where, yeah, the Giants were asked this morning about Jones, but from him to get the release. They acquiesced, but I just saw that Dable said they were very surprised by it. So, you know, here we are at the end.
Well, how can you be surprised by it?
Dable said that he was.
I know, but how? Like, it's one thing to say if you were to bench Daniel Jones and make him the third stringer. You also know the contract situation. You took the starting quarterback and moved him to the practice squad. You're surprised that him and his agent would ask for the release? I mean, come on, Dave. I love you, but what are we expecting here? How can you be surprised by that? You neutered him. You had him. He went out there and faced the public wearing a red shirt, you know, practice squad player, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. People have been tweeting about the practice squad reps that he's been taking all week long. Like, what would you think? You'd just be like, oh, yeah, I'll come to the game in my suit? Like, Well, what would you think was going to happen? Of course he was going to ask for his release.
So as the football career of Jones is over, and obviously now we're into a very unique chapter with his exit, hastily done, kind of out of nowhere, from a PR perspective, you think the Giants look bad here? We know he didn't work out as a player.
No, I don't think they look bad here. I don't think the Giants mistreated Daniel Jones. I don't think it was the... Look, it's not easy to swallow making him go from the starting quarterback to the practice squad thing, but I don't think that's something that you could rip the Giants for. Like,
yeah,
the reality is the contract situation led to that. Like, they couldn't leave a gray area to where they might find themselves in a position where Jones had to go back in the game, and God forbid he got hurt. Like, it was over, but how could you be shocked that he asked for his release?
Yeah, again, I'm not going to rip the Giants for the way this ended with Jones here, but I don't think they look good. Because, and it's not just about the Jones stuff, even, we're all excited to watch DeVito play this weekend, and hopefully he balls out and does well, and maybe he's the bridge for the future, whatever, maybe more than that, as Sal and I talked about yesterday on the show, but Drew Lock, now, you might not care about Drew Lock as a Giants fan, I understand, we don't really care about Drew Lock.
Right.
I don't even know who he is, like, I don't even know if he could play,
because
he never plays.
Backup quarterback.
But it's not insignificant when you're promised something by a franchise, and that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
And then the first chance you have to hop into the seat that you were basically promised, they throw you on the depth chart lower than you were promised. And it's not like Drew Lock got three or four games where he was just trash and like, all right, we're going to go to DeVito now. It was, all right, we're going to sit down Jones. And now instead of going to Lock, who we told basically, you're our number two, and you ignore that. And what does it mean for future free agent relationships? I don't know. Probably nothing incredibly tangible. But it's not a good look when a guy who's brought in here as the number two never becomes the number two. He was very honest and transparent in how he felt about that. And now, after 6 years, you got your quarterback who you drafted sixth overall and won a road playoff game a couple of years ago, basically saying, get me the hell out of here.
Yeah.
It's not a great look.
I don't think this is a black mark on the Giants franchise overall. I thought they handled themselves with class in the statement that Mara released. I thought the Giants gave him ample opportunity, detrimental to the organization, giving him so much opportunity. They didn't throw him under the bus. I mean, they made the decision after the loss in Germany to Carolina, going on the bye week, that it was over. We all knew it, but they finally made that decision. I think if you're going to say that, you know, you wanted to properly evaluate Jones in the 3 years for Shane and Dable, they gave him more than enough time. The first year, the second year, banged up. Okay, let's give him a real chance this third year. He was bad. Now, again, moving him to the practice squad from starter, I mean, they needed to do that. So I don't blame the Giants organization. And even with Drew Lock, like, Drew Lock is what he is. They gave him $5 million to be a backup quarterback. The circumstance doesn't call for a backup quarterback. The circumstance calls for finding out what you have on this roster right now. And that, to me, was, you know, that should be the first thing that they do, finding out what DeVito is as opposed to worrying about Drew Lock's feelings or whatever they promised him. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Back to Rex. Eric is in Clifton, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, bud.
Good. I just want to tell you guys, I know you guys talking about Gruden. If he goes to you guys, he's going to command full control, and this is why you're not going to want him. You know, between 2018 and 21, he oversaw four drafts. 13 of those 16 picks, rounds 1 through 3, that's where you build your team. They're all gone. They all busted up the team. 6 out of 6 in round 1, 2 of 3 in round 2, and 5 of 7 in rounds 3.
Eric, real quick. And I know you're a Raiders fan. You call a lot. I get it. I love it. So I value your answer on this. But, I mean, you got to attribute that to Mayock's, inexperience on the job, no?
Mayock was a puppet. Even during the draft, he said that if I didn't draft Josh Jacobs at that pick, he said John was going to kill me. Gruden also was responsible for trading Khalil Mack and getting those picks, and those picks all went up in smoke. They just weren't flames. As far as a coach, he's a phenomenal coach. I mean, people say that he won with Dungy's team. I looked at it the other way around. Dungy went to a great situation where he had Peyton Manning as a quarterback. It worked out for both teams because you look back at those Tampa Bay teams, they couldn't beat Philadelphia. You know, in 2000, they got smoked 21-3,
right,
and then
still,
the next year, 31-9.
The point
was, they didn't get him over the hump in the final year, and he's crushed in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but the point was, he didn't build up that Bucs team. They were ready made.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, so that's the
absolutely,
argument.
But he did bring in Brad Johnson, and then he brought his father over to coach it. And then in the game, in the 2002 game against Philadelphia, they beat him 27-10. So he actually, his father actually had a better performance against Andy Reid's team, a team that they couldn't get past to get to the Super Bowl. As far as what the Jets should do, my opinion, blow the whole thing up, Sal, like you said. But go look at that Detroit.
I didn't say that. BT said that. Yeah. I would not blow the whole thing up, just to be clear, Eric, and thank you for the call. I would not blow it up for two reasons. One, I think what they have in place can be salvageable with the right hire. Two, really more than just the two reasons. But number two would be what you're not getting the right guy in here. Okay, blow it up, hire the bright young general manager and Ben Johnson. That's not going to happen with the Jets. Number three, the Jets have failed time in, time out of trying to bring in a whole new regime, new and experienced general manager, first-time head coach, rookie quarterback. We've seen that, and it has failed time and time again. I want to build the foundation. I believe the right head coach can win with this roster, at least maybe build a year or two of winning, and then start to, you know, revamp the younger quarterback and so on and move forward.
Here's one of the big fundamental differences between how you and I perceive this. I don't, when we talk about like their base of talent and the core, I don't really believe in their base of talent and their core to the point where I would rather bring in other people and allow them to really investigate trading Gardner and Wilson and Hall rather than bringing in Rex and going for it, thinking that they're a player or two on each side of the ball from being relevant. I don't think that they are. I don't trust Gardner. I don't want to pay Gardner. I don't want to pay soft Gardner. I don't want to do it.
I get that. But also, if you found the right head coach, maybe he maximizes what's left of this team. And there is some talent here. And when I look at this team this year, the most infuriating thing to me is it kicks you in the face. I know they need a real head coach, and they just haven't had one. They went from bad to worse with Saleh to Ulbrich. So I just want to see. It was like you wouldn't argue going in how on paper talented the roster is. Generally, if that fails, that's an assessment of the head coach. That's on him. And I still believe, like I believe Garrett Wilson can be better with a real head coach. I still believe in Davante Adams' talent to a lesser extent, but I still believe in him. Hall, obviously. Rodgers. Like, I believe in those guys. Defensively, you know what they have. Now, is it the perfect roster? No. They need to build an offensive line. They need to get back to running the football.
Like, the time they do that, other guys who you do value are either going to be making big money or gone, like Rodgers. That's the problem.
But a real head coach, BT, should immediately be able to come in and identify what's wrong, what needs to be cleaned up, and how he can fix it. Who needs to stay? Who needs to go?
Yeah.
And I think there's enough. Like, the cupboard isn't bare to where you're starting from the ground up here.
I know it's not bare. I do recognize that. I don't think it's as plentiful as maybe others do, but I know it's certainly not bare. And I think that Rex would come in here and the press conference would be sick and people would be energized and, you know, trained it probably back on Hard Knocks, you know, get another mic, fire him up, and watch the circus unfold again in front of our eyes.
Rock is calling from Long Island. What's up, Rock?
How are you guys?
What's up, Rock?
You guys got the sports knowledge. So, my theory is the Giants' demise started in 2018 when they picked Saquon Barkley.
Yes. And to be fair, Rock, when they pushed Coughlin out. But yes.
Even before that, but listen to me very carefully. In 2018, we were not giving up on Eli Manning. Okay? You have four quarterbacks on the board, and we're picking number two. You mean to tell me, come on, Football 101 tells you to trade that pick for the most draft picks you can get.
Yep.
2019.
Or take a quarterback. Like, you had, they had two choices.
They weren't giving up on. They weren't giving up.
But that was a big mistake. They should have saw.
That was a big mistake.
They should have looked at that as a rare opportunity to be picking atop the draft with a bunch of quarterbacks to figure out which one they wanted to be the replacement. If you weren't going to do that, then trade down. Go ahead, Rock.
If you remember, Gettleman's guy was Justin Herbert, which we wind up passing up on him for Thomas because we picked Jones.
If we
had to move up, if we had to move up in 2020 to grab Herbert, who they wanted so bad, Gettleman, we had to draft picks to do it.
Rock,
2018 pick.
Can I ask you something, Rock? Because we've talked about this a lot, and I don't think you're wrong, and I think we're all on the same page. We're messed up many years ago. Can you push it forward? What should they do moving forward?
Well, that's the problem. What do we do now moving forward? There's not, listen, we took a bridge quarterback years ago when we went through the Cannell, Graham, and
Tommy
and
Maddox.
Dave Browning. And we wound up with Kerry Collins. We wound up with Kerry Collins, who took us to a Super Bowl. I don't see that bridge quarterback out there right now.
No.
Well, I don't want to see Justin Fields here.
Well, why not, though? You don't know, Rocken. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, buddy.
You don't know that there can't be a bridge quarterback. I mean, people are saying the same thing about Russell Wilson. Look what the Steelers have done. Now, there's more to it than just bringing in Wilson. Like, if you brought Russell Wilson to the Giants, yeah, they'd be better, but I don't think they'd be the level of the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
But there could be a bridge quarterback that could help you win some games now while getting to eventually where you want to be. Here's why, BT, it's hard for Rock and myself to, like, obviously we have to move on and move forward, but this is not just one bad decision that led to one bad season or a couple bad years. These problems are so deep within the Giants organization, it goes back many years. When you screw up as badly as they did in that 2018 draft,
mm-hmm.
by not acknowledging that the end was near for Eli, by not acknowledging that the best thing to do would have been taking a quarterback, or if you're not going to take a quarterback because you don't love one, trade down and stockpile the picks instead of taking a freaking running back. Like, those are, when you make that bad of a decision, that sets you back years, and that's why we're still having those conversations.
Yeah, people think that it's hyperbolic. It's really not. When you hear somebody say, like, I'm talking like an NFL pundit, somebody who just does it solely, and that's like that's their main thing, like somebody like Damian Woody, or you know, like you know the names on all the different networks, right? You hear them say, hey, if you know, if you whiff on the quarterback, it sets you back a decade or so. It truly does, because then it triggers so many other reaches and desperate moves, and you are in a hole like the Giants and Jets are in a hole. But listen, anytime Cashman talks about the Astros stealing the World Series from him, I don't want to hear about it. I move on.
You're right. We got to move forward.
Anytime Jet fans, and it's funny because we're talking about Rex today, anytime Jet fans waxed before today, and Joe B was always doing this poetically about Rex, I don't want to hear it. I want to move forward. You know, and I get it. I'm not saying that it doesn't apply, and we totally agree. That's the essence of the implosion. But you
we got to move on.
I mean, what did Tony Soprano say?
Right.
The lowest form of human communication begins with remember when. Hey, remember when the Giants took the running back number two?
Yeah.
Remember when
the Knicks were good? Remember when the Giants were good?
Yeah.
Remember when the Jets had that run?
It's nice to be wistful and, you know, turn back time and romanticize about what was, but can we move forward? Jeez.
Well, and honestly, they have moved forward because it's finally over for Daniel Jones and the New York Giants. Oh,
there you go. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal. What do we have? Costos coming up next. There we got our buddy Nick. Nick is going to join us next. He's always money. Thank you very much. All right, Phil Sims at 12:45.
Oh,
I love Phil. Phil's fantastic.
I've never had Phil on. I love him.
You're not going to turn into a little nerd, Keith.
Come on.
Act like you've been there.
I know.
You've been here
I love Phil's personality. I love him. When I was younger, I was a Giant fan. I love Phil Sims. Love him every time he broadcasts games. And I love him now with Boomer and Geo every Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
I love Phil so much. About 2 or 3 days ago, ironically, I just sent him a little video of my son playing quarterback because I know they give lessons.
You text with Phil?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me this?
I don't need to tell you everything. All right. Every Friday night, FanDuel's giving all customers a bigger payout on select NBA first bets. Bet like all the action that you want, the opening tip, and who's going to score first bucket. A lot of different things to do. Who's going to be the first to 15 points and a whole lot more. So the best part is if you want to do this and get a little juice and sweat during the game, you don't have to wait the whole game to see if you won. Just look for Friday's first.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Allo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
In the FanDuel app and find
your official station to talk Jets.
Well, it's just collateral damage for, you know, a season that's just gone awry. And, his job was to put this offensive line together, and he was given a lot of resources to do it, and that hasn't really come together.
The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. On the line right now is the host of You Better, You Bet, and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the You Better, You Bet podcast for more analysis. Just search You Better, You Bet wherever you find your podcast. Nick, it is officially over. Daniel Jones asked for his release. The Giants have granted him that request, and the Daniel Jones era has come to an end.
Well, how do you spell era? E-R-R-E-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O- I went to good schools. E-R-R-O-R. The Daniel Jones error has come to an end, is what I meant to say. You know, I give him a lot of credit, and I think I've been pretty consistent, and I've said this throughout the whole process, throughout his whole tenure here, right? He's always conducted himself with class. He seems like a really nice guy. Like, unlike Dave Gettleman and, like, Joe Judge and others, he never embarrassed the organization. He never embarrassed himself. He never embarrassed his teammates. So I do think this is a fair outcome for him. Like, it's good for the Giants because they move on. He was the quarterback 6 years of this. 6 years with this guy. So now he gets to go somewhere else. If I were him, I'd sign somewhere with like a team that needs like a high-end backup quarterback for the playoffs. I could think of like six teams off the top of my head that could use Daniel Jones. I'm sure he'll start games in the future, probably never as a full-time starter again. But look, like, he's filthy, stinking rich. God bless him. And for the Giants, this is the only outcome that was necessary. Get him off the team. Like, he needs to not play. No one wants to pay that injury guarantee. And now let's see what happens over the rest of this god-awful season. And I actually think, and maybe the Jets at the end of last year could challenge this. You guys tell me, has there ever been a worse 1-3 quarterback depth chart in the history of the league than Tommy DeVito, Drew Locke, and Tim Boyle?
Well, I mean, there were times for the Jets, Tim Boyle was number two. So
And people think... Like, people think that Joe Shane deserves to come back. DeVito, Locke, Boyle. Terrible law firm, worst quarterbacks. Like, get the hell out of here with this, please.
Oh, man. So, you're obviously not looking forward to at least sitting down and seeing if DeVito can capture a little magic. Like, do you have no interest in that at all?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm going to bet the game. We did this last year. He's not going to be the franchise quarterback, and that's okay. Like, he'll be on an NFL roster for the next decade. I would love for him to be. Maybe he's the long-term answer at backup for the Giants. Drew Locke will be gone after this year. He can go somewhere else. So, like, I'm not saying Tommy DeVito can't play. Like, the Giants clearly think he can, because I don't think they're tanking. I think Brian Daboll and Joe Shane feel like if this spiral's out of control, they're going to get fired. But my sense is, and from talking to people like around the team, I think that they're trying to win, and they legitimately think DeVito gives them the best chance to win. So I think for Giants fans, the rest of the season is about a couple of things. Number one, you'd like to lose as much as possible while still being respectable in the games to secure a high draft pick. You want Neighbors to be good. You want Tracy to be good. You want the defensive players, the good young defensive players, to stay healthy, and you want them to play well and get some momentum building into next year. I think that's what's left now for Giants fans.
You mentioned some of the other potential suitors for Daniel Jones. What do you got? Give me a list of where you think he would. I had Dallas, Miami, Detroit maybe atop my list. BT had more teams than I had. What are you thinking for potential landing spots for Daniel Jones?
So, like, for me, like, Dallas, like, no way. I just don't think, I don't know about that, because they have Cooper Rush and Trey Lance already, and, like, Dak's, like, entrenched as the starter. If I'm Daniel Jones, and, like, I'm not, and, like, the offers have to be there, the way that I would do it if I were him, I would sign with a team for the rest of the season, just for the rest of the season, and then enter free agency next year.
Well, right, so then why would... Agreed, that would be the way to do it. Why then Dallas? You don't think he could be better than Cooper Rush?
Well, I think for Dallas, like, they probably... Well, I think they're probably going to want to start losing. And they have, like, they invested. So Dallas traded a fourth round pick for Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to have to play Trey Lance at some point.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
So, like, they're going to play Cooper Rush until the season's – we all know the season's over for the Cowboys. They're still, like, mathematically, they could rip off some wins and potentially get back into it. Once that door's shut, Trey Lance is going to get to play for the Cowboys. And then they'll be abominable. They'll be horrendous when that – because he's terrible. So Jones to Dallas, I don't think will happen. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, Nick, my list is more on teams I think that could get to or win the Super Bowl.
Agreed.
Kansas City, Buffalo, Philly, Detroit, teams like that. Mm.
So let's talk about it. Kansas City has Carson Wentz already. Like, they're not going to sign Daniel Jones. Buffalo has Kyle Allen. Like, Daniel Jones, huge upgrade there. Buffalo should be interested. Miami, for as long as the Dolphins are in the playoff race, like, we saw, like the Jenga Tower came crumbling down when Tua got hurt. Like, Miami should be interested in Daniel Jones. The Packers, I think, Malik Willis has done pretty well as the backup to Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones would be an upgrade over Malik Willis. San Francisco, like, if Brock Purdy misses this game on Sunday and Brandon Allen has to start, it's a disaster. I think that he's a huge upgrade backing up Brock Purdy. The Detroit Lions, actually the one that might make the most sense.
Yeah.
The backup quarterback right now to Jared Goff is second-year former Tennessee quarterback Hendon Hooker, who was really good his final year at Tennessee, tore his ACL at the end of the year, and basically didn't play until this past preseason. And, like, if Goff gets hurt, you can't give the keys to a Super Bowl team to Hendon Hooker. Now, I'm not saying Daniel Jones would win the Super Bowl, but you'd have a hell of a better chance with Daniel Jones than you would with Hendon Hooker. So, BT, I think you're thinking about this the right way. Super Bowl caliber teams that don't have viable backup quarterbacks,
yeah,
I think should all be trying to sign him.
We're on the same page. Nick Costos, BT, and Sal here on The Fan. So, it's embarrassing. He's begging for the Jets job. And I think he's got a chance to get it, which I don't want.
God almighty. Of course, you should not want that.
No, of course I don't. No, I don't.
Like, the whole thing, it's like when John Gruden went back to the Raiders. Like, I mean, I guess, like, Rex did go to a couple AFC championship games, so I don't know. Like, I get it to a degree, but you can't be that desperate, like, to go back to Rex Ryan.
Well, okay, but don't you think they are? Would realistic, good candidates be interested in working for Woody?
Well, I think, you know, it depends on what your definition of good is. I sound like Bill Clinton. Is Ben Johnson coming to coach the Jets? Like,
no,
definitely not.
Right.
Like, I'm going to throw a name out there, and I don't even know if this is a great name, but, like, Clint Kubiak, Gary's son, the offensive coordinator of the Saints. Like, if the Saints offense finishes well, would Clint Kubiak want to coach the Jets? Like, probably not. Like, guys that will have a lot of options. Mm-hmm. But once you get past that list, like, it's still New York. Like, I still don't buy the idea that no one would want to come to New York to coach the Jets. But first off, like, Woody's going to be in Ireland. He's going to be working for Trump.
Yep.
Like, I think he's going to be out of the picture coming up in a little bit. To me, with the Jets, it's less Woody and more Aaron Rodgers.
Mm.
Because, like Rex Ryan would come back to coach the Jets if I were the quarterback. So, like, I don't think Rodgers matters. Like,
want Rodgers. I think you're right, but I think he would want Rodgers if he had to pick.
I think he would take you as the quarterback to come back and coach if he got to be the coach of the Jets again. My point would be, let's say that Woody goes to work for Trump and he's not around anymore, right? And Ben Johnson, I'm making this up, or another like hot candidate, looks at the Jets and says, okay, I think I can win here. Maybe they get a draft pick that enables them to take a quarterback that, like, this unnamed person really likes. They're not doing it if Aaron Rodgers is going to be back as the quarterback next year. Like, Rodgers has kind of had his run as the shadow GM of the Jets here. It's gone really poorly, obviously. I think if you're the Jets and you want to attract, like, a really big-name coach candidate like a Ben Johnson or somebody else, how do you sell Aaron Rodgers to that candidate? Like, he's got to get blown out, he's got to be gone, and this coach and GM has to have the opportunity to pick their quarterback. Because Rodgers isn't just, like, your run-of-the-mill veteran quarterback. He has cast such a wide shadow over this organization, like, running things from the background. Like, he's got to be gone. Like, he has to be gone.
I agree.
Year.
Yeah, I would keep Rodgers and bring in a real head coach myself because they're going to need to stop.
But who's
Cap
coming?
Anyway.
But who's out? Who's coming to coach the Jets if Rodgers is?
Well, that's different. Like if you said you offered Gruden the job and he said, "Well, I need my new quarterback," then I'd side with Gruden. But if Rex came in, I would want it with Aaron Rodgers. I want a real head coach to make that decision. I personally believe the Jets are going to have Rodgers be their best option to win games next year. That's just me personally.
He's cooked.
Yeah, I disagree with that. All right, real quick, Nick, in less than a minute or so, give me your pick on the Giants-Bucks game.
I like the Giants, like a good amount here at 6. We all watched the Munich game. From what I understand, Sal, the play that secured Daniel Jones benching was the flea flicker and his inability to get rid of the ball with Neighbors and Wandale Robinson wide open. Like, say this about Tommy DeVito, he might not be great. Like, if Brian Daboll says when you get the ball thrown to you, you throw it immediately, he'll do it. I think the point spread's way too big here. I like the Giants +6 against Tampa coming up
on
Sunday.
How about that? I like it, little Tommy DeVito. Hey, can we get you next week before Thanksgiving or no?
Okay. For you, anything.
All right, so Wednesday. Hopefully we talk to you then Wednesday before the holiday and we'll preview the year.
Oh, yeah, we get to talk about Tommy DeVito against Cooper Rush on Thanksgiving. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
That's what we wanted, exactly. Nick, thank you for the time as always, man. We appreciate it.
Wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. Colts and Patriots, the two best bets for this weekend.
There we go.
He's coming
on. Nick's on fire. Make sure you listen to him Sunday morning on The Fan. Does a great job in his hour that he has previewing the NFL slate. That was the host of You Bet or You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app.
Yeah, coming up next, Phil Simms. Phil will join BT and Sal and talk about Jones's exit and DeVito's return and the inner workings of the franchise. What's going on? I can't wait for that spot. That's next with BT and Sal.
Your official station to talk Jets.
I'm telling to the Giants because we don't have like a DeVito coming in just to be the guy to be excited about on Sunday. We have Tyrod Taylor who will probably win 4 games and put us in the 11th to 12th spot in the draft. It screw everything up.
The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It's time to get
Phil.
What's the time?
It's time to get
Phil.
What's the time?
Phil.
BT and Sal nice. On the Fan as we welcome in Phil Simms. First time I've ever had the pleasure and honor of talking to Phil Simms. I listened to him, of course, growing up forever on the games every Wednesday morning with Boomer and Geo at 8 a.m. Phil, a pleasure to have you aboard the BT and Sal show.
Okay, that was some introduction. I like that. You know, I can't get away from Geo with Phil. Hell, whatever. But it is pretty funny. I will give him that. And I do listen to you guys when I get a chance in the afternoon sitting here in my office. And, you know, I think this is the first time. How many years you guys been working together now? How many years?
Almost two.
Almost two. Yes, this is the first time you've ever called me. So there you go.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, I would love to have you on regularly, but that's Boomer Geo's thing. Anyway, we're happy to have you now, Phil. Are you surprised at the request from Daniel Jones to be released and the Giants granting that request?
Yes, of course I am. I did hear a little inkling. Somebody reported it or whatever. Well, he stayed with the Giants or whatever. I don't know if it was Monday or Tuesday. And I thought, wow, that's strange, and I started thinking about it, and you know, and look, I understand it from both sides. I do. The injury, the money, that's one thing. The fact that he's the fourth-string quarterback, I mean, wow, that really bothered me just to hear that, to do that, but I understand that also. And I'm just going to say this right off and top for all the Giant fans out there, and I understand you don't like him as the quarterback. It didn't work. But the guy really was dedicated and worked hard and did all that. That's got to account for something. And so I hope it's not, let's just dump on Daniel Jones Day. And, you know, he did the right thing probably for himself. I know he did. To go in and ask for his release. And John Mara, okay, now that really takes him off the hook for everything. Mm-hmm. And John Mara is he's a great guy. And he loves his players, so he wanted to do what he thought was right by Daniel Jones too. It's good for both sides, but let me just say this real quick. Everything I say, he worked hard. He's tough as hell, and everything you could want. He tried to make it work. It did not work, and we always put everything on the quarterback, which I understand. They get paid, put it on them, but the circumstances were not great. This is not a football team that was going to go 10-7 or something like that. And when he had the chance to win a few games, it did not work. But I'll say this about Daniel Jones. He has the size, the mobility, the arm, the toughness, everything you need to be a starting NFL quarterback. So maybe he'll get another chance somewhere down the line, like Sam Darnold and a lot of them, and he can resurrect his career. But that's what I think right there.
I think you nailed it, Phil. Listen, it's certainly not dump on Daniel Jones Day on this show. If anything, we've lauded his professionalism.
We've done that for 6 years.
But I do think that there's an important distinction to make, because obviously Jones was not perfect, clearly. In my opinion, the Giants failed Jones more than Jones failed the Giants over the years. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think you can say that, but, I'm trying to think of the right word. I think Daniel could have done more for himself, so I'm not going to lay it all on the Giants of what they put around him and all the other stuff. I think the opportunities were there. They were not like, oh, my gosh, they got nothing but great guys for him to throw to and run the ball and all this other stuff and protection. It's the best in the NFL. None of that is true.
Mm-hmm.
So the circumstances weren't great. But I do think they had opportunities, many games. I mean, I felt like I was watching the same game over every week with the Giants. And then when they played Seattle, I went, wow, I think I can see the emotion, the rhythm of the team. It's going to turn around. But they just never could win the games. Like the game against the Dallas Cowboys, it was there. I did it on radio, and I'm sitting there, and I wanted to root. Like, it's there. But they could never make that one play that was going to win the game for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they had many chances to do it and did not do it on either side of the ball. And, look, I like Daniel Jones a lot. We don't talk a lot. I'm going to say that I can't even say we're friends, but I think we have great respect for each other. And I can't say, looking at that game and just going, well, it wasn't his fault. I thought he did have opportunities in that game just to bring out one where it could have been the difference, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and Phil, he's going to have some suitors. By the way, the great Phil Sims, BT and Sal, nice to have you on. It's awesome. And I guess there's two different schools of thought here. If you're Daniel Jones, do you go somewhere, you know, with a team that's got a chance to win a championship like the Bills or the Chiefs or one of those teams and watch, or go to another miserable situation, maybe get some more run but not really look particularly good as you put more stuff on film? If you were him, what kind of situation are you looking for?
Well, look, it's really not going to be up to him as much as we think. In other words, you know, he's going to go somewhere as the backup quarterback. That's what you hope for. And you hope, and you know, many of these teams, like Mac Jones up in New England, they let him go. And I thought, you know, he's really perfect, like really built and designed to be with the San Francisco 49ers, to be the backup. And well, that didn't work. He went down to, you know, Jacksonville, whatever. But there are really good spots that can open up sometimes for quarterbacks, and you just go, wow, I'll be the backup. Work hard. They're going to retrain me, redo you, fix you up again, and build you up in the preseason, all that stuff. And if you get a chance to play, you can make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that around the league every single year. We saw it last night, Jameis Winston. Physically, all that, but he's got the personality, the leadership qualities. He's got a lot of stuff that you'd love in an NFL starting quarterback, that's for sure. And then we see Sam Darnold up there. I love these stories, too. Oh, Sam Darnold's is starting to turn into Sam Darnold. Be quiet. Be quiet. That's crap. I mean, he threw an interception. He's turning into Sam Darnold again. It amazes me, but, you know, I get riled up about a lot of things, and that's just one of them.
But I mean, Phil, he is throwing more interceptions now. He's looking like the old Sam Darnold. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, no. My God, let's cut him and play somebody else.
Well, no, I didn't say that.
Because, you know, God dang, you're not allowed to ever have a bad game. You know, what did we think about Aaron Rodgers? How's that working out?
I think he's done.
I still believe in Aaron Rodgers.
I think he's done.
You think Rodgers is done, Phil?
Done.
No, I think he's not. Look, you know, are you going to run it back with a team and a new coach and general manager and all this, a new offense? Are you going to be able to change the offense? You got to keep all the offensive guys because Aaron Rodgers loves them. So there's a lot there. And if I had to just say yes or no, because I would say no, they won't run it back with Aaron Rodgers. That would be my opinion right now.
All right, let's get back to the Giants. You think Tommy DeVito can win more games in this offense with this team than Daniel Jones?
Well, he's going to have a good chance here playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Their defense is not good now. They're terrible against the pass. The pass rush is just okay. And the only thing I can think that would kind of derail him from a chance of having a good game would be this. Todd Bowles, one of the happiest blitz guys in the NFL history. I mean, I remember talking to Todd Bowles years ago, and I said, if you blitz and the quarterback burns you, does that kind of pull you back a little? He goes, well, no, it's not going to stop me. I'm going to keep blitzing because I know the guy doesn't like it. And as he said it all, I went, damn, you're right. Trust me, I'm a quarterback. Yeah, let me hit one against the blitz. But if you keep doing it, I'm going to like, damn, give me a break.
Yeah.
And so that could happen this weekend. That would not shock me at all to see them empty the bucket in the blitz game because, really, that's when they played their best. And, of course, Baker Mayfield, another retread. How's that working out down there? It's working out really great for him. He's playing. He's the leader of the team, playing really well. So it's an interesting matchup between the two teams.
Why do you think then, Phil, that so many of these guys fail the first stop? I mean, you mentioned it, whether it's Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield or Geno Smith, potentially Daniel Jones. Why is it that the young quarterbacks aren't succeeding until maybe the second or third opportunity?
Well, Geno Smith, another one. I got to hear on TV, they should have drafted a quarterback. Yeah, well, who's going to beat Geno Smith out? Are you watching him play? Let's see. He's big. He's strong. He can run, as he did against the 49ers to win the game.
Yeah.
He's got a really good top-flight NFL arm. He's accurate. And, you know, Pete Carroll said it best. I've been watching this guy destroy our defense for a couple years, and we got to see if he can do it in the games against other teams. And he's done that. But whatever. What was the question? I had to get that
in. Why do you think these guys, struggle when they start? It takes them to the second and third opportunity to have some success.
Well, we're already reevaluating the draft pass from last year. Let's resurface them again here. And where would we draft them right now after like 2% of their career is in the bucket? But we're going to do this. So I see that. That's annoying. But
Phil, you fit right into the show. You got that fire in you. We like that.
Oh, yeah, it just drives me crazy. Hey, but wait. But here it is. You got young guys learning the NFL, which I don't care who it is. For almost everybody, it's a transition to degree. And, you know, just take Jaden Daniels. He got nicked up a little bit. You're getting to the part of the year where these first-year quarterbacks are going, damn, we got how many more weeks to go? And it's mentally very draining and tough. And you got to be careful because that will start to affect you physically, too. And I say this, and I don't go into this often, but my rookie year, we played a game. I forgot who it was against. It was over. And I sat down, and I go, oh, my God, we got three more weeks? I couldn't wait for it to be over.
Yeah, wow,
Hey, look, they're different now. They're trained different. It's a different league and all that, so they can withstand this because they see it in college more than back in the days that I played. But young guys, inexperienced, learning the NFL game, and a lot of times, like I hear all the time, which is true, go to teams that are not very good, and you got to change. And the play calling, the play design, there's so many things that have to work for you to be successful. And it's not just you. You got the talent to be a starting big-time NFL quarterback, but you need all the other things, too. The offensive line, like I say, a good offensive coordinator who can call the plays at the right time and make it somewhat easier for you when you're a young quarterback. And that sounds easy, but damn, it's hard to do.
Yep.
If you fall into some of these offenses around the league, you're going to be successful as a quarterback. I don't care who goes to Minnesota. Kevin O'Connell is going to make you a successful quarterback. You go to Detroit, and you get lucky and get that situation there. If you're the backup to Jared Goff, if you get a chance to play, I'd be shocked if you didn't do well.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these offenses, the design, the talent, the coaching, they are great spots for quarterbacks. And, you know, you got to be fortunate to get in one of those.
Phil, final thing, and we're real late, so it's got to be tight. I got a couple of quick.
No.
We got time with Philly?
Yeah, we want to talk to Phil for a little bit.
You won't call me for another 4 years, so let's prolong this just a little bit.
Hey, get on him. I texted you the other night. I love you.
He ignores you. I wish I had your number. I have a Phil Simms jersey. I have a Hostler one, too, but I would love to have your number.
You guys are crazy.
Hey, so Phil, I want to bring it back to DeVito. I've got a couple of categories here. And I want you to, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 the worst, 10 the best, just a couple of quick hits. I want to get a...
Go.
An, oh, okay, number one, arm strength, 1 to 10, DeVito. What is it?
7 to 8.
Ball placement, 1 to 10.
7 to 8.
Mobility, 1 to 10.
You know, it's a good solid 7 by NFL standards.
Intelligence.
I don't really know that. You know, as far as, you know, I haven't studied him enough over the with his playing last year, whatever. But I would say it's high. He knows how to play the damn game. He showed it wherever he's been. He showed it in Illinois. He was, I thought, borderline terrific. He showed it last year playing when he got in with the Giants. So it's got to be up there. There's no doubt.
I got two more quick ones. Size, sure. Measurables, size, 1 to 10?
Probably about a 5 by NFL standards.
Moxie.
Well, I think he's, you know, I can't wait to really watch him, too. I feel bad for Daniel Jones, but this Tommy DeVito thing, I saw him in training camp. I watch him almost when I've been to the Giant games about 4 times, 3 of the home games maybe this year. Mm-hmm. I watch him warm up, and I go, I know it's warm-ups, but damn, he throws it really well. And he can get it out of his hand. I even made fun with him. I saw him in the cafeteria. I said, hey, man, Tommy, your warm-ups are awesome. I'm watching you're out there for 35, 40 minutes just ripping it. And he goes, yeah, yeah, I got to do something, whatever. He, of course, he's got a really good personality, so that's going to kind of fit the team.
Yeah.
And he is different from Daniel Jones. And so it's you say the moxie, I think that's a big thing that, you know, we can't put our finger on, but we know when we see it.
Yeah.
And I think he does kind of have, he does have that. And the crowd's going to be behind him, which is really good for the team and good for the quarterback. And it gives them a better chance because now we know the crowd is not going to be going, oh, it's the same old Giants. They're going to be excited to see Tommy.
Do you think he gets the next 7 games, or is it, you know, if he bombs after a couple, they go to lock? I mean, you think he gets the whole runway here?
Well, I think Brian Daboll has already told us all that. He's not going to be as patient probably going down the road here at the end of the year.
Okay.
They need to win some games. I think no matter what happens, and I'm going to say this publicly, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, they're going to be back with the Giants next year. So, but they got to win a few games to just give them, really to give themselves some confidence in what they're doing and to kind of know that it's not that far away. You know, in the NFL, you're always kind of close, but can you win all the close games and get it going where you can really show who you are as the year goes along? And the Giants haven't gotten in that position yet.
You know, Phil, you mentioned the offense in Detroit, the offense in Minnesota. Well, what about Daboll? I mean, he was supposed to be an offensive guy. I believe in Daboll, but does he not have that offense that any quarterback should succeed in?
Well, I'll put it this way. You remember Red Shandies, the coach of the St. Louis Cardinals?
No.
No.
I'm only 45,
Phil.
Come on,
I mean, you got to be history guys. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, we are, but you know, not in the relics.
He was an old crotchety guy.
We do know history. We know you and Boomer were once very good quarterbacks. That is our history.
well, one of us was.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, oh, boy.
The guy who won the MVP, right?
Yeah, whatever. Boomer's great. I love him, so who cares? But Red Shandies, coach of the Cardinals, they were a bad baseball team. A manager said something to him, and about work and all this, he goes, listen, I have this mule back on the farm. I can run that SOB every single day and train him for end on end. It doesn't matter. He's never going to win the Kentucky Derby. So I don't care what Brian Daboll does sometimes. If you don't have the guys that can help you execute it to a certain level, it's not going to look good. So the upgrade of the team, they got to have a good – listen, last little thing. Malik Nabers needs to turn into a star, and they got to make that happen. I think it's really, really important for the overall ability to win and really the how we look at the football team. They got to change what they see on the defense as far as the Giant offense because they got to be psyched out about this. Malik Nabers, I'm not going to say he needs to turn into Ja'Marr Chase, but damn, I'd like to see him get really close. And so that's big. I think their draft picks from this year have been it's been a really, really good year for draft picks for the New York Giants. Probably my biggest disappointment watching the games, they redid the offensive line, and it hasn't been quite what I thought it would be. I thought that would be the big driving point of the season this year. The O-line's better. All the other guys are going to play better around the good offensive line, and the defense is going to be in different scenarios instead of always, oh, we're losing, we're behind, or whatever. We can't play exactly the way we want. So those things have not worked out.
Phil, you going to the Paramount tonight for Boomer and Geo Live?
Well, I wasn't invited. You can only go where you're invited.
What? Ooh. Boomer and Geo didn't invite you? Meanwhile, you invite...
They never even brought it up, so it's okay.
They invite themselves to your house, or you invite them, and they don't invite you? I mean, that's brutal. Come on.
Hey, what can I say? It's how they roll, you know?
Well, maybe you abandon them and you join us every week.
There you go. Yeah. I did go to the very first one they had down in Jersey City.
Yeah.
And I got to admit, it was out of control, but it was hilarious.
They'll miss you, I'm sure. The fans will as well. They'll be having a great time out there at the Paramount Long Island tonight. Phil, it was a true pleasure to have you on our show. Hopefully we could do it again sometime soon. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, when I turn 73, give me a call.
Oh, no, we won't. Phil, I started on the overnight, so you weren't taking my calls. I asked Purdue, hey, can we get Phil Simms? Phil Simms is not coming on the overnight show.
Did you ever try?
Yeah, I mean, didn't have his number.
Wait, first, hold on. Bull crap.
What do you mean?
I never got a call from you guys on the overnight because I would have done it.
Of course you would have. Well, I appreciate that, but I didn't have your number. Now I know in the middays you have access to certain things you wouldn't. Just know this, Phil. I grew up loving you not only as a player, but I loved you as a broadcaster as well. I love any time you're on the air. I can't get enough of it. You and Boomer and Geo every Wednesday at 8. So for me, it's an honor. You know, I should have reached out sooner, but I didn't have your number.
Well, you know, now you're making me pull back a little, and I got to be nice. I don't know if it's just not, you know, but I appreciate it, Sal. I really do, and I'd love to come on whenever you guys kind of need me. And I actually hesitated a little bit about coming on today because of this Daniel Jones thing, and, you know, it rubs me, I don't know, I'm really disappointed in everything about it. You know, this season, I feel bad for the Giants. I do feel bad for Daniel Jones. Why? I'm not going to say, because he's a good person and he tried the best he could try. And that's all you can really ask from an athlete.
Well, want to get him a participation trophy?
I'm teasing. I mean, but wait, 2 years ago, and everybody, oh, well, big deal. They went to the playoffs and they beat Minnesota. Yeah, it's a big deal.
I know.
And that's the guy I thought we would see, and it didn't turn out that way. Was it his fault? Yes, it's
bit.
Part of his fault.
A little bit.
He admits that.
Yep.
So.
No question. A stand-up guy, great young man. Didn't work out. But, you know, it wasn't a lack of effort. So we know that. We thought you'd be great to come on and talk about this. Great spot. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you,
All
Phil.
Right, listen, thanks for having me on. I really mean it. You guys are doing well. I do listen to you in the afternoon, so I get a little... That's one of the reasons why I came on. I respect what you guys are doing, and that you're doing the right thing.
Phil Simms listens to us. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it. Thank you, Phil.
You got it, guys. Well, look, have a great day and everything, and then we'll talk soon.
There you go.
No question.
All right, bud.
I love his energy.
He's just a stand-up guy.
I love his personality.
Yep.
I love his fire.
Me too.
He's got that silent fire.
You ever shake his hand?
No.
No,
I've never met him. What do you mean?
You never met him?
I don't think so. You know what?
All the years you've been here?
Now that I think about it, he might have done a show with Mike once.
Okay.
Or came in studio. I'm trying to think. Maybe that was the case, and maybe I met him.
Maybe you met him quick. The thing that jumps out about Phil, because we used to have him on Tops every single Sunday.
He'd come in, Boomer, come in. That's how you knew him?
Every single week for 7 years. So the thing that first struck me about Phil, he is this big dude.
Yeah.
He's strong.
Well, he always talks about how his bottom is large, you know?
His ass?
Yeah.
Well, he's got thick legs. He was a boxer.
Yeah.
He was a great baseball player.
Right.
He's a dude's dude, and he's just a man of honor and respect. Yeah. I love Phil.
And he feels
really
bad for Daniel Jones, you could tell. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll come back, have your calls. We got the Perfect Parlay Pick segment coming up.